Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Would you join me as we pray together this morning? Lord, we give you thanks for the good gift of the day and the gift of this place. We pray that you would come now, that your Spirit would be among us, that you would rest upon each of us, that you would quiet our minds, open our hearts to the word that you have for us today. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be your words for your church. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. See if I can get these little guys to sit up. There we go. So, do you ever look at someone and wonder what's going on inside their head? We're in week two of what I'm calling the Parables of Pixar series 2.0. We did the first one last summer, and I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you're having a lot of fun. But we're looking at three Pixar films. And I said last week that Pixar films are known for offering hope. They engage our hearts and our souls and our minds and certainly our imaginations. The stories and the characters resonate with us, and I think that the insights in the films can be practically applied to our lives as Christians. We know that the Bible is full of stories because stories have a lot of power. And Jesus engaged the culture of his time with stories called parables. He used common language and everyday situations to make the lessons he would teach memorable for those who would hear. So the movie Inside Out will offer insight to us into the idea of emotions. The question that I just asked you is actually the opening line of that movie. So I have these special friends with me. You can probably see them fairly well since we're up on the stage. These were loaned to me from my good buddy Wesley. This is Joy and Anxiety, and these are two of his prized stuffies, and I will be returning them promptly after this worship service. That's Wesley and I last Sunday when we made the handoff. He has trusted me with these all week long. But we're focusing on the first Inside Out movie today, but Anxiety is from Inside Out 2, but he's my favorite. And so I am glad to have him with me and to have Joy with us this morning. I'll set those there. So I want to take a look at the first movie clip this morning as we meet the main characters. So this movie was released 10 years ago in 2015. It actually won an Academy Award and a Golden Globe for the best animated feature film. I mentioned there is an Inside Out 2 that came out last year. I highly recommend both films, both for children and for adults. But to give you just a quick overview of this first movie, Riley is an 11-year-old girl. She's the baby that you saw in the beginning. And the five personified emotions that live inside her mind: joy and sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. And you notice that they all have distinct colors. So they spend most of their time in what they call headquarters, which is basically the control room of Riley's minds. And outside that control room, there are different islands that represent aspects of her personality. So there's a family island, she's a hockey player, so there's a hockey island, and a few others. And so you also see these brightly colored spheres. Those are her memories. And so the color of the sphere corresponds with whatever emotion is represented in that memory. Now, her core memories are kept in the very center, in the hub of the control room. And we didn't see it in that clip, but Joy guards those very, very carefully. So in the movie, Riley's family moves from Minnesota, where she is a happy kid, she has a lot of friends, she loves her school, she's on a great hockey team, but they move across the country to San Francisco. Now, Joy is the one that leads the whole group of these emotions. Really, she micromanages. That's really what she does. And so as a child, Riley has been mostly happy. And so Joy wants it to stay that way. And so she tries to keep these other four emotions in very minor roles. At one point, she's unsure what to do with sadness, and so she draws a circle on the floor and tells sadness to stay there, to stay inside that circle. And gradually, as Riley gets older, as she grows more unhappy living in San Francisco, the other emotions come in and try to take control. And Joy's response is usually something to the effect of, that's the opposite of what we're going for. That's usually what she says. So I want to pause there. We'll come back to the movie in a bit, but I want to look at the scripture for today from the Gospel of Mark, from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. I'd invite you to listen and receive God's word for us today. One of the legal experts heard their dispute and saw how well Jesus answered them. He came over and asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus replied, "The most important one is, 'Israel, listen, our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You will love your neighbor as yourself.' No other commandment is greater than these." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this passage takes place when Jesus is in Jerusalem. His declarations of authority have been met with a lot of contention by those around him, and most of the religious scholars, including the scribes, were opponents of Jesus. And so this story is a little bit of a surprise, because it seems that this particular scribe is impressed with Jesus. And so he approaches him with this question, which commandment is the most important of all? Now, this was a really common debate back then. Commonly debated, what are the highest principles that we need to have? And so Jesus responds to him with words from the Torah, which is part of our Old Testament. So the first part is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, when he says, "Israel, listen, our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, being, or soul, mind, and strength." Now, what's interesting about this is, in the original passage in Deuteronomy, mind is not included. Jesus adds that here. This passage is known as the Shema. It's often referred to as the creed of Judaism, very, very important to the Jewish people even now. And the word Shema comes from the Hebrew for to hear or listen. So every devout Jew would agree, a monotheistic belief in one God alone. The second part comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, love your neighbor as yourself. And so in the original context, neighbor would have only applied to fellow Jews. But here, Jesus gives no qualification. He gives no boundaries so as to include the Gentiles as well, which would not have been popular. Now, this passage falls in Leviticus within what's known as the Holiness Code, all of the many, many laws which must be followed. So what Jesus is doing here is he's taking two pieces which summarize the Old Testament law and puts them together. And so what we have is one commandment that's filled with the new meaning that Jesus gives to it. So when we keep our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength fixed on Jesus, when we stay fixed on his love and his grace, it's then that our faith can direct our emotional response to the world around us. Our inner world that's inside of us, as well as the outer world, our interaction with other people. So I think it's helpful to talk a little bit about emotions. What are they? Well, I want to consider two psychologists who have done extensive research in this field of study. The first is a man named Paul Ekman. He is still living, but he's retired. He was a professor at UC San Francisco. And he did a lot of work and identified six basic emotions, which are universally recognized across cultures. He traveled to different parts of the world, and five of those emotions are seen in the movie. The sixth one that's not shown in the movie is surprise. But emotions, he would say, are brief feeling states with distinct thoughts and expressions. He would say that they're fleeting in that they're shorter than what we would refer to as our moods, but they shift our thought and our action to enable us to adapt to our circumstances. And so they're central, in a way, to our survival. The other psychologist is Dacher Keltner. He's a professor currently at UC Berkeley. And a few years ago, he wrote a book called Awe. It's become quite popular. Some of you might be familiar with it, but it's about the science of wonder in our everyday life. And in 2010, he got a call from Pete Docter, who is the animator and director of Monsters, Inc., which we watched last week. And he asked him if he would consult on Pixar's new movie. He explained that it was going to be called Inside Out. And it was going to be about how emotions transform the way that we perceive the world, the inner lens through which we see, and then how they animate our outer actions. So inside out. And I think that's part of the greatness of this movie. It's about real things that have been researched, pieces of our real lives as human beings. So I want to go back to the movie again. So the emotions are in the control room and an accident happens. And in the accident, joy and sadness are pulled out of the room and sent into the depths of Riley's mind. And so while they're there, they encounter things like her train of thought, which in the movie is a real train, imagination land, her long-term memory bank, which is full of those colorful spheres, her dreams. But they also meet Bing Bong, who is Riley's imaginary childhood friend. And he's scatterbrained, but he is lovable. And you'll see in the clip that he actually cries tears of candy. And in the clip, the rocket that he and Riley had created and used for their many, many adventures together is being thrown away into the memory dump. He's ultimately sad because Riley is getting older and he knows that he is fading away in her life and her memory. But sadness just sits with him. Sadness listens to him and she comforts him. And sometimes we struggle to summon joy, don't we? But that's okay. It's okay and it's good for us to sit with our emotions. As these banners say, it's okay to feel all the feels. Each emotion that we have has a place in our life. Imagine if we never felt anything at all. Our emotions are not something that need to be fixed. They're messengers that communicate valuable information. And so it's important that we be able to hold on to our sense of self in the midst of changing feelings. Our faith is not based on a feeling, but feeling emotions can point us to our God who is always with us. And God can help us in processing the things that we feel. When we invite God into every corner of ourselves, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and our sense of self becomes rooted in God's love and God's faithfulness, then we can trust that God is present as we acknowledge our emotions as valid. And when we acknowledge our emotions, then we can better empathize with and love other people. Just as God sits with us, so we too are called to sit with others in times of joy, in times of sadness, in times of fear. And John Wesley would call that social holiness. So when we say that our God is the one Lord, that means not only the one that we worship and serve, but it also means that he is the one Lord of us. We can't allow good things, and emotions are good things. We can't allow good things that are not the ultimate best things to become the defining forces in our life. It's Christ within our emotions that reveals a purpose and a meaning beyond ourselves. Our emotions are real and valid so long as they're grounded in God's truth. And so while they shouldn't control us, they also should not be avoided. They should not be repressed. The scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. I think sometimes we forget the loving ourselves part. And taking care of our emotional health is part of that. We're created as emotional beings. And I believe that all good emotions are rooted in God's perfect nature. But sometimes we cover them up. We seek an escape and we run toward things that are unhealthy for us instead of dealing with our emotions. So this week I would invite you to consider a few things. And the first is this: how is your emotional health and well-being? And where might you grow? That can include things like evaluating your relationships, evaluating boundaries that you have or don't have in your life, finding a good therapist. Zero shame in that. I met with my therapist last week. Friends, if you struggle with emotional health issues, please know that you're not alone in that. And I would encourage you to seek help. Pastor John and I are always available to you as resources. We have wonderful Stephen ministers as resources. We even have a number of licensed counselors and psychologists who are part of our congregation. But the second thing is this: the next time you feel a wave of emotion, regardless of what it is, take time to sit with it. Take time to acknowledge it, to be aware of it. How often do we say to others, even to ourselves, I'm fine, and we move on when we're not fine? Putting words and putting meaning on our feelings is not always easy, and it's not always neat and tidy. But when we name it, then we can begin to understand it, and then we can begin to deal with it. So ask, what does this emotion point to? What does it say about what I value in my life, and does it align with God's purposes for me? When I first saw this movie 10 years ago, I was so overcome with how it resonated with me that I immediately found an image of these five emotions and I put them on a wall in my office. If you've been in my office, you've probably seen it. It has never been taken down. Other things have come and gone around it, but that has stayed. And I look at it regularly as a reminder of these things, that I need to assess my health, that I need to sit with and be aware of what I feel. I even sometimes imagine these characters living inside my head. But then I consider, what is it God wants me to do with this emotion? So if that would help you, I would encourage you to find your own. You can easily look online, find an image. I have two little ones right here. You can print them out, keep them with you, put them somewhere where you will see them on a regular basis. I promise that when you see these movies, you will never think about these emotions in the same way again. The last movie clip I want to show you is Joy and Sadness have found their way back to the control room. And in this clip, they help Riley talk to her parents. So what you see there is Joy and Sadness working together. Both of them are vital to Riley's healing, to her health. And as she names her feelings, it unites her with her parents. You also saw those memories become a blend of colors. Emotions can be complex, but they can coexist together. And so instead of chasing happiness at all costs, experiencing and accepting all of our emotions as valuable gives deeper richness, more lasting joy in our life. And joy really can live in harmony with those less comfortable emotions. You might wonder why love is not portrayed as one of the emotions in the film. And I think it's because all five of the emotions love Riley. They care deeply about her. And love is a choice. It's an action which colors every emotion that we feel. And so our emotions are free to work within a healthy framework when they're guided by the presence of Jesus. Anger empowers us to rage against injustice. Fear and disgust move us to hate what is evil, but to cling to what is good. Sadness helps us feel the hurt and the pain in our world, and the joy of the Lord is what gives us strength. Fullness of life with Christ includes a variety of emotions, but God redeems every moment, every feeling, to shape us, to guide us into who we're created to be. And the good news is that emotions will come and go, but Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he joins with us, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength as we learn, as we grow, as we feel, and as we love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.